You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up? This is Connor Livesey with the Talking the Star podcast, and tonight we're on with another NFL draft prospect interview.
Tonight I'm on with Ben Banigou, TCU edge rusher. What's going on tonight, Ben? How are you?
Not much. How are you doing?
Good, good. I know you're still probably getting back into the swing of things, coming back from the NFL Combine that was just a week or so ago in Indianapolis, man. What's it like just getting back into the swing of things, getting back on schedule and kind of getting back to work after having that weekend where it was all football for you?
I guess the biggest thing would just be, just getting back to a normal schedule at the Combine. They have you in for a couple of days, like about a week. And it's just a lot going on at a time. And at times you kind of lose sight of your schedule and your structure. But being back home, being with my family and close to the coaches and the staff that I played in college with, you know, it's just kind of brings a little bit of normalcy back. And, just glad to be back home and glad to still be working out and getting ready for my pro day on the 29th and just seeing how the rest of this thing goes.
And that's the interesting part about this, because you've been away for so long at your training facilities, getting ready for the combine. You obviously then go to the combine and then you kind of go back home and start working back in with your college coaches and trainers and stuff like that. Is there a big transition from your combine training to your NFL training after the combine, or are you still kind of working on the same things you were pre-combine, post-combine?
For me personally, I guess there's no big difference going through like the position workouts and stuff, but as for like the combine testing, the vertical, the broad, the 40 and the bench, that kind of stuff, I don't think I'm getting too much into that just because I already did that at the combine and I showed what I could do. I'm trying to show the scouts, and the scouts probably want to look more at how I move around like they did at the combine, seeing how I drop and cover and go through drills that cater towards more towards the NFL teams and what they want to see.
And we're going to get to kind of what you just mentioned there about some of the scheme fits that you'll be playing in, but I wanted to touch on your combine performance because it was such a dominant performance for you. You measured in at 6'3", 250 pounds. Your length was on display, 33 5/8 inch arms, but your testing numbers were very, very good. You had a 4.62 40-yard dash, 23 bench press reps, a 40 vertical jump, 134-inch broad jump, a 7.02 three-cone drill, and a 4.27 20-yard shuttle. I'm going to give you my opinion on what I thought was the biggest standout for you, and then you can, you know, maybe tell me if I'm wrong or right, but I really liked your three cone. Anything right there at seven is just it's able to show that you're able to change directions at ease. And then obviously when you run that fast 40, it kind of backs up those numbers. Is that kind of something you agree with, that three cone drill might be the most important for you?
So for me, I take pride in all the drills. Obviously, like, that's just me as a person. I definitely feel when, you know, you do well in a certain drill, and you also back it up with, you know, a drill like the three cone and the 40. I guess that speaks volume to the type of athlete that I am, how I can bend and move. And for people that didn't think that I could do that, I felt like doing those two drills kind of showed that I am a type of guy that has speed, and it's not just straight line speed, speed of change of direction and lateral movement and being able to sink and bend and move around like that.
And I'm just curious because you kind of mentioned it before we started talking about your testing, but you kind of mentioned that some of the things that you're working on now are more set for kind of what teams are seeing you as at the next level. Was there a lot of talk? Obviously there was, but what kind of talk were you, what kind of feedback were you getting, I should say, at the combine as far as position wise? Were they seeing you as kind of a 3-4 outside linebacker? Did they see you being able to put your hand to the ground in a 4-3 scheme? What were teams kind of giving you feedback at the combine?
Well, teams were kind of talking to me about doing stuff that I kind of did at TCU, dropping the coverage, pass rushing, and just being an athlete on the field. There's teams that talked to me that were more 3-down front, had their hand in the dirt, and they were 4-down front with their hand in the dirt. And there was teams that were 3-4 and had me standing up and pass rushing. And for me, my biggest thing is just being versatile enough to do all those things. There was teams that even asked, like, hey, if we have you in the inside the box as an inside linebacker, and then on pass rushing downs, have you out on the edge and rush, could you do that? And that's some of the stuff that I did at the Senior Bowl too. So just being versatile enough to play anywhere in the front seven is my main goal. And I think that I am versatile enough to do all those things. And the biggest thing that I talked to them about was my versatility and my upside. And just being able to play all the positions and being able to excel at all of them is my biggest thing. Not too worried about where they're going to put me, because whatever team drafts you, they're going to draft you. But my biggest thing is just going out there and executing my best of my ability.
Of course, and you mentioned your versatility. That's something we're going to talk about a little bit later in the podcast. But obviously, anyone who knows you, watched you play at TCU, they saw you rush from so many different positions. You saw you cover from so many kind of different positions. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we do that, I did want to ask, and I always like asking this question. At the Combine, you obviously interviewed with a bunch of teams. We'll try to get a few of those mm-hmm. teams that you might have interviewed with. But what was one of the weirdest questions that you got asked in one of those interviews?
The weirdest question I got asked was by the Ravens. They asked him if Terrell Suggs asked me to carry his pads every day during training camp, what would I do it? I thought that was kind of funny because I know that they asked that question to different people and everyone gave different answers. So mine was just kind of, you know, yeah, that I would do it out of respect. And so Suggs probably had to do it for someone like Ray Lewis or Reed. So for me, just, you know, it was more of a respect deal. And a guy like Suggs is going to be a Hall of Famer one day. So obviously, like, you try and talk and work around a guy that's going to be a future Hall of Famer, that's only going to make you better. So that was probably the weirdest question that I got, just because it's kind of funny. But nothing too out of line or anything like that.
That's not too crazy, and I think it's crazy, and I'm sure you're sitting around watching TV, seeing all the deals that are being made. Suggs actually informed the Ravens earlier today that he was going to be leaving the team and going somewhere else. So you wouldn't have to worry if the Ravens draft you. You wouldn't have to worry about carrying around his pads. But it's got to be crazy as a guy coming into the league as a defensive end, edge rusher, guy that can kind of get after the quarterback, seeing what these guys are signing for, and just kind of thinking and seeing the future of, man, in a few years I could potentially be in their spots. It's got to be a very blessed situation to be in. You know, you got a lot of work to put in to get there, but it's got to be something you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, and, you know, just the fact that, you know, growing up as a kid, you see some of the guys that you idolize and you're like, man, I really want to be like that guy one day. And then you have the opportunity to go up and play with and against those guys. I know when I was a little kid, I actually grew up a Michigan Wolverine fan. And watching Tom Brady from where he started and to where he is now, is just kind of like, wow, like one day, like, I want to have the you know, confidence, work ethic and everything about, you know, Tom Brady that makes him special. And then knowing that, you know, depending on what team I go to, I might have the possibility of going up against them is just something that, you know, people kind of find value in that. And it's pretty cool to kind of think about that kind of stuff.
And kind of moving away from the combine and getting into we're kind of going back in time, we should do. But just to kind of finish up on the combine, what were some of the teams that you had some formal interviews with at the combine that really sat down and wanted to get to know you?
Some of the formal that I had, I met with the Falcons, the Redskins, Jaguars, Saints, and you know, for each team, it was different. Some teams cut up some game film and kind of talked to me like that, and some teams drew up a game plan, had me trying to regurgitate it and everything. And other teams like the Falcons, they just, you know, kind of talked to me on a more personal level, just kind of getting to know me. And the biggest thing is, you know, you have 15 minutes per interview, so they try and get to know you as a thinker and as a social person as best as they can. And those 15 minutes that they do have, a lot of good feedback that you get is from the informal interviews too. And that's kind of the same thing that they had at the Senior Bowl. It was all informal interviews. So the informals were something that I was ready for. You know, it's something I already did. Usually some last from 5 minutes, some last about 20 minutes. And it kind of varies what they want from you, what they want to hear from you, things that they want you to do. And it was just an all-around good experience meeting with different teams and seeing what they thought of me and how they saw me fitting into their system.
And I was actually going to bring up the Senior Bowl next. I'm glad you kind of covered that for me. But the Senior Bowl, I feel like, is a great learning experience for the seniors who are going to the Combine, because it covers so many of those informal interviews. It kind of just, you know, it's like a warm-up session for the Combine. It kind of gets you used to some of that experience. And the Senior Bowl is pretty crazy too, but I don't think it's as crazy as the Combine is as far as time schedules and how busy you are. So I know that the Senior Bowl, you know, you had a good week there. You mentioned how you kind of did a bunch of different things at the Senior Bowl. Just briefly kind of recap that week in Mobile and how much you think that could have helped your draft stock along the way.
For me, I'm going in Senior Bowl. I went in as a linebacker. Didn't expect to go in as a linebacker. I thought I was going to go in as a D lineman, but going in as a linebacker, it was a good thing for me because it helped me show more of my versatility. I was in the sub packages. I was an inside dime style linebacker that was dropping into coverage, wall into playing man on the tight end and the running back, dropping into whole coverage, and whenever we were in our base front, I was a true Sam. I was playing off the ball, playing on tight end, setting the edge. And even when we did pass rushing circuits, I was getting down, getting some quality reps of pass rush. And then in the game, I even got down in, you know, three technique. So for me, the whole Senior Bowl was kind of just me showcasing my versatility, going from a three technique to a five, to off-ball linebacker, to a true inside linebacker, just showing what I could do. The first day it was a little difficult for me just because, you know, it's your first time playing a different position. So I kind of learned the foreign language for the first day. And it was one of those things where, you know, you just learn it and you rep it. And the next day I got better. And by the third day, I felt real comfortable in it. And I felt like I was flying around. I made a couple good plays during practice. You could see my body, my mannerisms started getting better, just seeing that I was more comfortable in that position. For me, the thing that I expressed to teams was, you know, if we had a full fall camp or a training camp, me doing linebacker, I feel like that's something that I can easily pick up because my athleticism is there. And that's just repping that position over and over again. So I feel like the Senior Bowl was kind of my chance to show my versatility and show that I can play anywhere in the front seven.
Of course, and that's something that we saw on your tape at Texas Christian University. I wanted you to touch on a little bit before we get into your career at TCU. Mm-hmm. You were a transfer. You started your career off at Louisiana Monroe and then transferred to Texas Christian. So you only have 3 years of college football experience. Just kind of what from Louisiana Monroe to Texas Christian, what was the differences that you had to go through to just go through that transition from Louisiana Monroe to Texas Christian?
I guess the biggest transition for me was at ULM in Monroe. I was I was this 265 type player, played in a 3-3-5 stack front. And we would kick it down. We would slide it odd and even. So I'd be in a two, like anywhere from a two to a five. And I was around 265 at the time. And I was playing well. Was a first team All Sun Belt player. Was newcomer of the year. So I played good at that way. And then going to TCU, I was more of a stand up edge rusher type player. So I slimmed down a little bit and lost about 10 pounds. And I had to start covering back, start dropping and covering the curl flats, boxing, and like doing a lot of stunts. And that was new for me because didn't really do that at ULM. And but I feel like I handled it well. I'm a fast learner, so I was able to pick it up fairly quickly. I had to sit out a year at TCU, but I feel like that year was one of my most memorable years because I took that year and I took advantage of it. I was a scout team player of the year that year, and I kind of just learned by the guys around me. Like I learned the ropes, I learned how to be a quality leader, I learned different things to kind of help my game excel. And I feel like that really propelled me into my junior year. And I kind of just hit the ground running, was able to become a captain as a junior and also a senior, and just kind of help the team do as well as possible. And that was my main goal coming into TCU, just make the guys around me better. And I feel like I did that.
And do you feel like your versatility at TCU kind of helps with that leadership role? Not that the guys who just play one position at defensive end, defensive tackle, not that they don't mm-hmm. feel the same way, but I feel like as a guy that can play, they can kind of experience and feel multiple position and the attitude of that position and be able to just understand that position since you do move around so much at TCU. It's got to help as a leadership role because you can understand what, you know, the linebacker's feeling and what he's seeing. And mm-hmm. then you can understand what the – I mean, again, you rush from in. You even played like some interior at TCU. You played linebacker. So you kind of had a good understanding of what that position sees and feels when on the football field. So I feel like it has to go a long way in the meeting rooms and the leadership mm-hmm. rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's just, you know, being able to do all those things, it just helps you communicate better with your coaches and with your teammates, knowing that you can sacrifice whatever you're doing to help the team win. You know, that sits well with coaches, and being able to do a lot of things and be good at all those things, you know, it kind of helps your team because then you can coach some of the younger guys and you can kind of show them how to do it. And just being able to be that versatile, it just makes your team better. So if they need you to be plugged in a certain spot that's kind of lacking, they know that they can come to you and ask you to do those type of things. So I think that's one of the things that kind of makes a leader great, being versatile, being able to get plugged into different situations and still be great at what they do. And also, you know, it helps the coaches too because they know that they can rely on you to do just about anything.
Of course, of course. And I wanted to ask you, from your career at TCU, do you have a memorable game or maybe a memorable moment that you think about a lot, you know, something you talk about with your family? Is there a moment for you that you just remember from your tenure at Texas Christian?
I guess my biggest memory from TCU would be playing my first big game, I guess, non-conference game. We played Arkansas. It was the second game of the season. We went to Fayetteville, and they of course picked us to lose. We were in small school, and it was that first drive. It was the first third down. Went out there. We were in three down front. I stemmed outside, and I just jumped the snap, and it was one of those things. I had a great get off. I bent the corner and was able to get a strip sack, and that kind of set the tone for the rest of the game. And you could just tell our defense had a certain swagger about us. And it was one of those days where you knew that the offense just didn't want to be out there anymore. And that was kind of my biggest moment, my most memorable moment as a Horned Frog, just being able to be a tone setter and going out there and knowing that, you know, since you transferred and you get to sit out a year and like the build up and just having all that just come together in that one play just kind of gave me an emotional rush, and that kind of carried over to the rest of my junior year and into my senior year.
Of course. And the next question I want to ask you, kind of a similar style of question, is you've played some of the top offensive linemen when at TCU. You've played the Oklahomas, the mm-hmm. West Virginias. Those guys have some of the top offensive linemen in this draft class, but have also put other offensive linemen in the draft every year. Is there one guy mm-hmm. that sticks out that you might have went up against as a pass rusher that is just tough? He was tough to beat down after down. He was very competitive. He was very tough as far as his technique and his what he brought to the table as far as strength and athleticism. Is there some mm-hmm. one of those guys who stands out to you?
I think out of all the tackles that I faced, I would probably say Lucas Niang on my team during practice, just because I went against him, like I went against him every day, and he was better than, in my opinion, he was better than any lineman that I went against in the game. He made the game more simple and easier for me on Saturdays. But outside of him, I'd probably say Cody Ford. You know, he is one of those guys that's just wide. You know, you think that you can beat him around the edge. He has long arms. And if you're not careful, if you're not bending the corner good enough, he can wash you outside the quarterback. You have guys like Kyler Murray, they can work his way around the pocket. It kind of makes things difficult. I know that Kansas State had a good lineman in Don Reisner.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough, gritty guy. I think he's more of a run blocker type of tackle. And then went against West Virginia. Didn't get a chance to go against Kajus,
mm-hmm.
But he was on the other side. So I didn't get a chance to go up against him. But their core, as an O-line in general, they're a pretty solid O-line.
And a question, kind of the guys you mentioned, the Cody Fords, the Kajus, you know, their offense is such a high tempo, up tempo offense. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get the ball out quick. As a pass rusher, is that ever frustrating to just never feel like you can get the time to sometimes get after these quarterbacks? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you did, having the success that you did, but when you're facing these, the NFL is adapting so many of these college style offenses where the quarterback's getting the ball and getting it out. What's a way as a pass rusher that you can defend that other than just try to be quicker, faster, and stronger?
The college game and the NFL game is a little different. I know in the NFL they run a little bit more man, and they don't have as fast a pace. So it's a little different than the Big 12, but just you have to be able to be refined in your technique, knowing how to get off the ball fast, get off the blocker quick enough to at least get your hands up, knock the ball down, or, you know, just beat the guy straight up and go out and get a sack as fast as possible. Because in this day and age, quarterbacks are getting the ball out real quick. They do a lot of play actions to kind of slow you down. So being great in transition is also a big thing. Knowing when to play the run and then play the pass is one of the bigger things that you need to be great at in the NFL. Because although this game is changing more of a passing league, teams are still very effective running the ball.
Great. That was a great answer. I like to hear. I just got a few more questions for you and I'll get you out of here. What's an NFL player, maybe somebody from back in the day, somebody you watch now that's playing now, that you watch a lot of tape of, you try to model your game after, maybe somebody can compare you to that average football fan, I should say, when they turn on mm-hmm. your tape, when they see you play, they can say, oh, that reminds me of this player.
For me, I want to be a unique player. I want to be a player where guys are like, you remind me of a guy like Ben Banigou. But for guys that I watch guys like Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Ngakoue, D Ford, guys that kind of fit my size,
mm-hmm.
Like my frame, and see what they do and see what they're effective doing against guys that they go against in the NFL. Because, you know, I think it's pointless to kind of watch a guy that doesn't fit your mold at all. Guys that are 6'6", 270,
mm-hmm.
280 aren't my frame. So some of the things that they do, you know, physically, they don't have the long enough arms to do some of the things that they do. But watching the guy that kind of fits your playing style is the best thing that I think helps me. And guys like Khalil Mack and Von Miller, those guys are real refined in their technique, and I just try to pick up little pieces from them and trying to add it into my game, and watching me excel doing that.
Great, great. All right, so one of my final two questions is, I know it's hard as a pass rusher to mm-hmm. really give me an answer like this, because a lot of your game is setting offensive linemen up. It's not necessarily, okay, I'm going to do this move. It's kind of setting a guy up mm-hmm. and then using that move. But if you had, you know, it's fourth down, it's fourth and five, you know, Super Bowl, you're on the field mm-hmm. as a you know, weak side defensive end, you know, weak side outside linebacker, you're rushing the passer, what's the go-to move that you're going to get to the quarterback?
First, I'm just going to get a great get off, trying to beat him with speed, trying to get him to be off balance. And then my move that I would go to would be my double swipe. I feel like it's my most effective mm-hmm. move. I think that's the move that I use whenever I get off the ball. And I get them off balance, because once linemen are off balance, they tend to reach. And when they leave their hands exposed, you know, you swipe them, you knock them down, and I'm fast enough to sink my hips and turn the corner. So that would be the move that I'd use, you know, if I had one last pass rush in me.
Great, great. I like that answer. That's one thing that showed up on tape a lot, was that two-hand swipe. So I end this podcast, so it's not necessarily a question, but last question I got, and then I'm going to give you one final way to sign off, is you're obviously setting up some of your official visits. You got your pro day coming up on the 29th. Is there some teams that you can let us know that you've set your official visits up with that might be showing some extreme interest in you?
There's teams that kind of has a wide variety. There's the Titans, the Eagles. I know the Jets and the Giants have contacted me. Talked to a lot of teams and at the formal interviews and the combine, and they said that they would get back to me and kind of work things out, just because, you know, it's like near the free agency time and everything, and guys are getting picked up and moved around. So teams are busy, but you know, those teams are teams that pop in my head right away. I know that I'll be getting more calls. I know that I'm doing an official with the Cowboys, and time will only tell, you know. Teams are starting to contact a lot of people and starting to get in touch, and I know I'm going to get more of them. So just kind of waiting on that until
you said you do have an official visit with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's a great fit. I like that, because they do like to move their defensive linemen around a lot, from left to right to inside to, and even you're seeing them now, you know, with Jalen Smith, moving him as a rusher, you know, playing him inside. So that'd be a great fit for you as well. Playing your ball in Texas, they're probably real familiar with you. Last question I got for you, and this is the way that I get you to sign off, is what is the NFL team that drafts Ben Benigou? What are they getting in the former Texas Christian University pass rusher?
I think the team that drafts me is going to get a guy that's a day one leader, a tone setter, a guy that is willing to do just about anything to win. I think they're going to get a guy that has the highest ceiling in the draft. For me, I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses, and one of mine is I'm more of a raw player, and I know that there's a lot of things that I can get better at, but technique is one of the things. And I think once I knock it out of the way, you'll see a player that excels at a faster rate than what you're used to. And I just think that you're going to get a guy that at the end, when it's all said and done, I'm going to be a dominant pass rusher and a guy that can play any position in the front seven and be great at it.
Love that answer. Obviously, you know, big fan of your tape, big fan of your work at TCU. Can't wait to see your you know, building your stock throughout these next few weeks. You obviously already helped yourself at the combine. You got your pro day left. If you're a fan of a team needing a versatile defensive lineman that can play also as a linebacker, I can't suggest you enough to get familiar with Ben Benigou, a guy who had 17 sacks at TCU. He's a guy who played all around that line, all in that front seven, as we talked about, a versatile guy who's got speed, he's got athleticism, he's got strength, he's got the smarts, he's got the instincts, he really does have it all. Again, Ben, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I know you got a busy next couple of weeks getting ready for this draft, so I'm going to let you get out of here, get back to work, and we'll talk again soon. The closer we get to the draft, man, congratulations on everything, and we hope to talk soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. This is Connor Livesey. I was on with Ben Benigou from TCU. He's a defensive lineman, also plays some linebacker as well. So if you are needing that type of player on your NFL team, make sure you get familiar with him. Thank you so much, Ben. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This is Connor Livesey, and we'll see you guys next time.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's vanta.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per-pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero-setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.